Welcome to From Beyond, a podcast about consciousness, metaphysics, and a wide variety of provocative spiritual topics. Cindy Riggs is an internationally renowned universal channel, author, and spiritual consultant. Cindy has been practicing professionally since 1997, and she has a unique and fascinating perspective on spirituality.
Welcome back to From Beyond. I'm Cindy Riggs, and I'm here with Jeffrey Jones. Thanks for joining me, Jeffrey.
Elite afternoon to you.
Oh, elite. Thank you. That's a good positive statement. Elite.
Absolutely. Elite it is.
Elite it is. And that's what we talked about in the last podcast, where we were talking about raising our frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said, elite day.
Yes.
It's an elite day. I love that. So in this podcast, which is Commandapod number 4, we're finishing out the book, my newest book, Commandification, Commanding Manifestation. And I'd love to talk about probably the most important topic of the book. First, I'd like to go back to chapter 3, Who We Really Are, is the name of the chapter. And I immediately say, I prefer not who we are, but what we are. Now, we are, you are, I am, everyone is, an eternal consciousness with no personality and no thought and no body, an all-wise being that came into a human experience with specific intentions, possessing all of the answers and solutions that will ever be required. And we are an awareness that has no capacity for fear or judgment, and it is not operating in duality. It is pure, unconditional love. That is what we are. That is what you are. That is what I am. That's what everybody is. This eternal consciousness with no personality and no thought. Everything else is programmed. Everything else is chosen or programmed into us by adults or teachers or,
stuff.
When we're children, obviously. And then I quickly go into, to say I'm or I am followed by anything. We need to be very, very careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is owning an identity. And I have people say, I'm a worrier. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're an eternal consciousness with no body and no thought and no, personality. Or I'm anxious. No, you're an eternal consciousness. And that eternal consciousness that you are is a part of the source or the God source.
Mm-hmm.
You're not separate from it. I'm a control freak. No, you're not. No, you're not. But for some reason, you keep choosing that because you think it gives you power.
Uh-huh.
Or you think it, I don't know what feeling you're going for. Everything we do is going for a feeling.
Uh-huh.
So you want to feel powerful or confident. There are other ways of going about that. So in my workshops, I like to present another analogy using a ball of clay, where I take the ball of clay and I start picking pieces off and throwing them on the table. And the ball of clay is the God source. And here's what we are. And I throw them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
All the same essence. And that seems to help people understand what they really are. So that is foundational for this commandification concept that I'm presenting in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And the who then refers to the personality that the person has chosen or the persona, which can so very easily be changed at any time. We are never, nothing's ever deeply ingrained. We're never stuck with, the persona that we have chosen.
An interesting phrase that we use in my work is you're either trying to be somebody or you're trying to do something. And I think that aligns really well with the who versus what.
Yes.
And shows intention, shows whether you are in your ego or you are in that pure community-based thought process, i.e. a piece of the ball of clay.
Right.
And we apply it to things that we do on a daily basis. You trying to be somebody, or you trying to do something? Because the stuff where you're trying to do something contributes to the whole, typically, whereas trying to be somebody puts you separate from the whole. So this chapter really resonates with me from the standpoint of I'm immersed in work where we on a daily basis evaluate what we do in that vein, as well as a couple other things. But like, it's a really easy to me reminder to say, is what I'm about to do, is what I believe aligned with my ego, or is it aligned with my soul or higher self? Like, simple.
It's perfect.
Trying to be somebody or trying to do something.
Right. Trying to be somebody or trying to do something. So as we think about, I'm trying to be somebody, I'm trying to prove myself, I'm trying to prove that I'm what? Successful or more successful than you or whatever. That's what you're talking about as the ego piece, right? We've already talked about separating the ego in the last podcast. So that is something that is available to everyone. I made it available to everyone. I made the technique available to everyone. So if we choose and know what we're getting ourselves into by incarnating, that's another theory I present, is that our soul knows exactly what we're getting into. It chooses our parents. It chooses our birth and our astrology. It chooses all that stuff. If we know what we're getting into by incarnating, then judging it as wrong or unpleasant, once the lifetime is underway, it goes against our soul.
It does.
You know? So with our mind, we're saying, this isn't right. This isn't, I wouldn't have chosen this, except you did.
Yeah, you did.
You totally did. So complaining about societal issues or whatever we think is wrong in the world is like criticizing or condemning the God source because it is all God source, and that's what our soul is.
Yeah. And I think the disconnect that comes, that causes people to end up miserable or some variation of that, is that 5% of their mind is not able to understand what the other 95 is trying to do, going back to be somebody, do something.
Right.
Like, as soon as you allow, as soon as you let go and you allow things to happen and you see them again as lessons, we talked about karma in the past couple of podcasts.
Or experiences and opportunities.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's framing of saying elite, right? Mm-hmm. Opportunities and ways to go about learning, improving, right? So to me, that disconnect between the 5% and the 95% can be the source of a lot of that discontent.
Oh, yeah.
If you can learn how to say, okay, this is happening. I chose this. What am I going to learn from it instead of being stuck in the past? As we've talked about a number of times. Like, to me, that is a great pathway to not being upset, miserable, stressed, anxious all the time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for using my percentages, the 5% and the 95. Yeah, well done. I do talk in the book about how our mind is 5% of our consciousness and our soul is the other 95. And why would we trust the mind? Or why would we search for answers in the mind when the 95% of us has them all? And all we have to do is remove the mind from the equation temporarily. It doesn't have to be more than 10 minutes to get access to that 95%. And that's what this is all about. That's what today's discussion is all about, is accessing the 95. Mm-hmm. First, you have to understand what you are. You have to understand that the 95% is what you are, and the 5% is the manufactured part from being in a body in the world.
And I think it's worth saying at this point that we do acknowledge the fact that you do need to be able to use your mind. Like, that's what you were given a mind for.
Yeah.
Not saying abandon this and just let the wind blow you all over the place. Although that can be fun at times, right? But the mind is a valuable tool. But like tools, they need to be tended to. They need to be taken care of. They need to be cleaned up periodically and not allowed to corrode and not allowed to fall into a state of dysfunction. The mind's the same way. that you have to train it to do the things that are in alignment with the other 95%. If you're going to choose to be happy, peaceful, whatever it is you want to be the majority of the time. Because I don't know too many people who choose to be miserable. I don't know too many people who choose to be out of alignment. Like, nobody wants to be uncomfortable. So to me, can you choose it? Can you be patient? Can you allow it? Like, that's a key question in this process for sure.
Right. And happy is different to everybody, whatever that means in their mind. What I'm presenting, I'm certain, will help you get to the happiness that you desire and the contentment and the peace, the inner peace.
Yeah. If we only knew somebody who helped people get to happy, right?
Yeah. That's my tagline, helping people get to happy. And I had somebody say, why does it get too happy? Why isn't it helping people get happy? Because happy isn't something you can go get at the store.
Right.
I'm helping them get to the state of being that is happy for them.
Right. And they have to choose it, not you doing it and handing it to them, right?
Right, exactly. Always has to be chosen.
The gift is the process, not the state of being.
Right, right. So chapter 9 is a new operating system that I propose. That is surrender. Now, I did have somebody, and I mentioned this in the book, in one of my group sessions, and he said, surrender sounds like I'm giving up. Now, sure, that's valid, right? That is one of the definitions of surrender, giving up. And it is. It's giving up your mind so that you can listen to your true essence, so you can listen to your soul's messages.
Sure. And that sounds like, to me, the same concept of karma is a bad thing. Surrender is a bad thing. Like, they're associating the white flag in the old Western movie, right?
Right. I give up. I am waving the white flag. No.
Right. To me, surrender sounds like a beautiful, I get to let go of this and let somebody else handle it type of, like, yeah. I mean, semantics, but still, for purposes of our discussion, surrender is not a terrible thing. Like, karma is not a terrible thing.
Surrender is the most powerful thing I know to date. Seriously. Because if you're racking your brain like I was, trying to figure out my career.
Yep.
And I got to the point where I did give up. And I said, I give up. I literally said, I give up. You soul thing inside me, you show me what you came here to do. And I don't care what it is.
Right.
Whatever you bring me, I'll do it. Right. And I really have. You know, show me what your most authentic expression is. What were your ideas coming into this incarnation? Because my mind doesn't know what those are. It can't. It's only 5%. How could it know? So what I did was I tapped into my blueprint. I just said, hey, blueprint, show yourself. But I didn't say it that way. I said, soul, show me why you came here. What do you want to do for financial income and for service to humanity? I don't know what that is, so show me now. And it did in like a week. Yeah, it showed me so quickly, and it keeps showing me. It keeps bringing me opportunities that I haven't had to seek out.
Yeah.
And that's the most beautiful thing about surrender. It takes some blind faith, though.
It does. Yep.
A lot of people are afraid of trusting something they can't see.
Sure.
Or they're not sure if it's really there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we trust cell phones every day to bring us information and sounds.
Yeah. And we don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
Most of us. Right. So what if you tried it for a day?
Yep.
You know, like, what's it going to hurt? It can't hurt a thing.
Yeah.
Your ego's pretty scared of it, though.
Yeah. Your ego is afraid of it for sure.
So this is what the essence of the most powerful thing about commandification is. It's surrender. And I even have a statement that I use all the time. No ego. I choose my soul. Or if you don't like soul, you can use true self or higher self, whatever you want to call that thing that you really are.
Yep.
The thing that's not your body, not your personality, not your thought. That essence that is forever, that never dies. I have techniques in order to align with it. There is a technique in the book, the inner light embodiment technique that I provide. But whatever I say goes, because I have free will. So if I say no, ego, I choose my truth, or I choose my soul. So when doubts tries to come into my mind, I say no to it. And people say, well, I did that. I'm like, well, do you continue doing that? You have to keep saying no to it, because it will keep trying to bully you. That's just what the dual mind does. How do I get rid of it permanently? Well, we don't. We have to have it.
It's learning again how to maintain the tool, because the ego does serve a purpose. Like,
of course it does.
I think that's worth reminding people of. It does serve a purpose, because, you know, there are situations at times where you do need your ego to have you be afraid of something, right?
But right, to run time, from something.
Correct.
Or to, like, to flee or to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But training that tool to react appropriately, whatever that is for you, to daily life, like, it takes time and practice. So, like, if you're listening to this podcast and you think, okay, cool, I'm gonna make this choice right now and everything's gonna be perfect going forward, like, yeah, that's not it. It does take time and practice. But much like taking time and practice to learn how to operate your phone in a computer, or learning how to do yoga, or learning how to lift weights, or learning how to eat properly, like, it all takes time. There's no fast track to it, right?
Right. We're retraining our brain. And that's why the title of this chapter is Surrender, a New Operating System. You're bringing on a new operating system for yourself, a new way of operating. And, you know, I was just thinking about the ego as you were talking, like a chainsaw. You fire up a chainsaw to cut a branch, but you don't carry the chainsaw around running all day and running into stuff. And, you know, like, that's what our ego's doing until we tame it, until we train it. Who's in charge?
Yeah, that we've talked about that analogy of ego being part of the family. And when you go on a trip, like, they're going with you in the car. Now, you have every obligation and you have every responsibility and every opportunity to say, you're sitting in the back seat, you're putting your seatbelt on, because we know you're part of the family. But if you think for 1 minute you're going to drive, or you think you're going to put what's on the radio, you're nuts.
Right.
Like, come on along. But here's what we're doing. We're training you what your role and responsibility is to stay in your own lane.
Right. You sit there in your harness. And you be quiet. And I had a client years ago where she would imagine that she would tell her ego to go sit in the corner. And she would imagine this being would come out of her and go sit in the corner. Why not?
Sure. There's the imagination in working value right there.
Whatever works. Right. So people will be like, well, how do I know when I'm getting messages from my true self, inner self, soul, you know, how do I know? Well, it gives us gut feelings and knowings.
Again, the whole concept of, is the message that you're getting scaring you, or does it make you feel good? Love versus fear.
Right. What's or is getting? It neutral? It could be neutral, like a neutral idea, like, interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel positive or negative about it, but it's an interesting idea. Maybe I'll think about that some more, or I'll entertain that thought. But it doesn't scare us.
Right. If it's scaring you, then you probably ought to hit pause and get your mind right and see what it is you need to do next, right?
Right. It can give us signs in our environment, patterns, numbers. A lot of people tell me they see repeated numbers, like I do. Song lyrics, animals, insects, dreams, visions. It speaks to us that way. It doesn't really speak to us in thought as much. And the other important thing to know about how the soul reveals our critical information to us, it's revealing it in the moment that we require it, not before. So it's only our ego mind that thinks, oh, I got to plan ahead. I need to know things in advance. You don't, though. If you are truly in that surrender and trust, The answer will just come when you need it. Perfect timing. Divine order. It's divine order. It's timing. Could you trust your soul's timing? Because it's the holder of your blueprint. Like, that's what I'm proposing here. And that's what I'm challenging people to do.
It's a great challenge. Certainly worth people's time for sure.
I know it is, because it changed my life in such a positive way that I have done things that I never would have pursued with using my thinking mind. It's brought me things and people and opportunities that have astounded me, frankly. And so that's why I wrote this book. That's why I coach people. Of course, I do manifestation coaching. Just about every session is that. I can't not do it now. Sure. You know? So I think we've touched on the main parts of the book. I'm still encouraging people, read the book. It's got all the tools I believe you need to have a happy, peaceful, amazing life.
Yeah. No, I think there's certainly relevance to leaving a few mysteries for folks to discover by reading the book, sure.
Oh, sure. And we have done that.
Yeah, we
such
have.
Such as the techniques and some of the other foundational material. But I believe it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you join us in the manifestation revolution,
yes, indeed.
You too can be a powerful commandifester, and may you be a powerful commandifester. And I'd like to know people's feedback. I'd like to know how it's working for them. So if you don't have the book yet, it's Commandifestation, Commanding Manifestation by me, Cindy Riggs. It's available on Amazon and Kindle, as well as directly from me through my website, cindyriggs.com. And we hope you'll join us next time. Thank you, Jeffrey.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, and thank yourself for taking the time to entertain some new spiritual concepts today. I hope it has been interesting and or helpful.
You can find Cindy's channeled books on Amazon. Kindle versions also available.
And visit my website, cindyriggs.com.